The first reading today is called a Koran Psalm. It is Psalm 84. What a beautiful home, God of the angel armies. I've always longed to live in a place like this, always dreamed of a room in your house where I could sing for joy to God alive. Birds find nooks and crannies in your house. Sparrows and swallows make nests there. They lay their eggs and raise their young, singing their songs in the place where we worship. God of the angel armies, King God, how blessed they are to live and sing there. And how blessed all those in whom you live, whose lives become roads you travel. They wind through lonesome valleys, come upon brooks, discover cool springs and pools brimming with rain. God travels these roads, curve up the mountain, and at the last turn, Zion, God in full view. God of the angel armies, listen. O God of Jacob, open your ears, I'm praying. Look at our shields glistening in the sun, our faces shining with your gracious anointing. One day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship, beats thousands spent on Greek island beaches. I'd rather scrub floors in the house of my God than be honored as a guest in the palace of sin. All sunshine and sovereign is God, generous in gifts and glory. He doesn't scrimp with his traveling companions. It's smooth sailing all the way with God of the angel armies.
I want to invite all this morning to share with us in a quick scripture reading at the beginning of our meditation this morning. And you will understand why, because I want to read the first part. Then I want to invite you to read afterwards. Following that, we will be talking about that. Joshua 4, verses 15 to 17 and 23 and 24. If you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve and do it today. Choose one of the gods your ancestors worshipped from the country beyond the river, or one of the gods of the Amorites, on whose land you are now living. As for me and my family, we will worship God. Joshua said, "Now get rid of all the foreign gods you have with you. Say an unqualified yes to God, the God of Israel." Brothers and sisters in Christ, right now, this very moment, the privilege and honor of being a minister of God's Word in Cocoa Beach, I must confess, is a humbling and a personal experience. We have longed, hoped, dreamed, and worked with all our hearts and hands to reach this milestone. And now, here we are, gathered for the first time in our renewed sanctuary. We are working, hoping and praying that this church will survive all of us, because we didn't do it for ourselves. We did it for the future of God's church. May this church that we worship in today still be there for our children, their children, and their children. We are only weeks away from our rededication festivities, and I cannot remember a time during the past 10 years when our church blossomed as much as now. If God is with us, who can be against us? We notice it in worship, in fellowship, in so many new initiatives inspired by our laity. We notice it in growth, and we notice it in the beautiful harmony that rules in this church. You know, all that reminded me of the little fellow who knelt at the side of his bed, closed his eyes and prayed, "God bless Mom, God bless Dad, and God bless Grandma." And this prayer he repeated night after night. However, one night he must have given his prayer some deep thought, because you see, he added, "And please take care of yourself, God, because if anything happens to you, we are all sunk." Theologian Harvey Cox tells the story of when he was drafted into the paratroopers during World War II. And Cox says, "I had never, not even once, been in an airplane before. And suddenly I was confronted with jumping out of an airplane in enemy territory, floating down to earth. And during the instruction period beforehand, nobody had to poke me in the ribs to say, 'Pay attention.' I knew my life was at stake, and I hung on every word the instructor spoke." This is an important day in the history of our church. Joshua's challenge to his people on their way to the promised land was timely, it was challenging, and it was necessary. It is not the beauty of this building, but the reality of God's presence in our midst that will determine the future of this church. I dare not hesitate to deliver God's message at this critical time. And on that, on God's message, once depended the future of Israel. On that now depends the future of Cocoa Beach Community Church. Therefore, choose then this day who you will serve. This is as important to us today as it was for Joshua long ago. This is vital. This is urgent. A specific choice has to be made, and not just any choice at that. Believe me, I say, coming from my knees with all my heart, the entire future of this church and its mission depends on one single choice. Our lives consist of series of personal choices. And we all have all discovered that the personal choices that we make will determine the success or the failure of our lives. I was wondering how many choices did it take for you to make in order to thought it was only natural what you wanted to do to come up to church today? On the contrary, have you ever made a choice that you will regret till your dying day? Have you ever made a choice that turned out to be disastrous, maybe not only for you, but also for others? Which choice that you once made turned out to be so good that it actually redirected your life and positively changed your entire being. Talking of choices, there's one true story incident that happened in 1947, and I think it might have been the challenge to the most far-reaching personal choice that one can think of. In 1947, Gandhi, the beloved leader and the father of India, went on a fast. He stopped eating altogether. He was heartbroken and bitterly disappointed in his people. There was war. They were killing one another throughout India and neighboring countries. And then the message began to spread that Gandhi was going to fast, not eat again, before something happened. Before peace would come to his people, and they were strictly divided by Muslims and Hindus. So a Hindu leader comes to the bedside of Gandhi, who was then near death, pleading with him to end his life-threatening fast. And Gandhi, with a weak voice, simply states that he will end his fast only when the Hindus and Muslims stop fighting. And now the Hindu, with hatred for the Muslims burning in his eyes, says that he was going to continue fighting no matter what Gandhi says. And to justify his resolve, he told Gandhi personally that the Muslims took his little boy and crushed his head. So he in turn captured a Muslim boy and killed him the same way. And then he sobbed and added sorrowfully, "Since then, I've been living in hell." Gandhi, first quiet and then softly responded, "My friend, I think I know a way out of hell for you." So with the Hindu hanging on his words, Gandhi tells him, "Go now and find a boy similar to your son that the Muslims killed, and take him into your home as your own son, and raise him as a Muslim." Gandhi places before the anguished Hindu father the same kind of choice that Joshua placed before the people as they arrived in the promised land. A way out of earthly hell is always, always to choose life over death. One's choice can either bring God's blessing or it can bring sorrow. The Bible says, "I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse, and therefore choose life that you and your descendants might live." You see, Joshua's challenge so long ago was very simple. It was very straightforward. You can break it down like this: love, follow, obey, remain faithful to God. You know, times have changed, but people still discover in our times that it is this simple formula containing directions to peace, love, and happiness. Not in a beautiful isle of somewhere, but right here, right now, in our midst. We have the freedom to choose which side we shall be on, but we do not have the freedom to negotiate the results of once made choices. And we may repent a wrong choice and alter the consequences by making a new and better choice. And beyond that, we simply cannot go. You know, once a young, eager university graduate said, "Well, Professor, let me tell you, there are two sides to every question." "Yes," said his professor, "and there are also two sides to flypaper. But it makes a difference to the fly which side he chooses." Joshua was pleading with the people. It's a matter of choice. And then he gave them the five, what we call verbs of life: loving the Lord, walking in His way, keeping God's commandments, obeying His voice, and holding on to God. You see, Gandhi suggested to a Hindu filled with hate against the Muslims to raise a Muslim child as his own son, but in Muslim ways. What would have happened if that man went and really did that? Well, in such a choice, hate would have exchanged, would be exchanged for love. Choose to love rather than hate. Choose to smile rather than frown. Choose to build rather than destroy. Choose to persevere rather than quit. Choose to praise rather than gossip. Choose to heal rather than wound. Choose to give rather than grasp. Choose to act rather than delay. Choose to forgive rather than curse. Choose to hope rather than despair. Brother, sister, in the midst of death, life persists. In the midst of untruth, truth persists. In the midst of darkness, light persists. It's better to light a candle than to live in darkness. We can and we should make the choices that bring about life, truth, and light. Abraham Lincoln was once listening to a person who closed his remarks with a pious hope. He said, "Mr. President, I hope that we have the Lord on our side." President Lincoln responded by commenting, "Well, I'm not at all concerned about that. For we know that the Lord is always on the side of the right. But it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should choose to always be on the Lord's side." That's how Christianity began. It began with a choice. And to be on the Lord's side is a far more important issue than trying to get the Lord to look at the world through your and my hateful eyes. Choose then this day. It is always just that, simply that, a matter of personal choice. One day, there came along that silent shore, while my net was casting in the sea, A man who spoke as never man did before. I followed him, new life began in me. Mine was the boat, but his was the voice. His was the call, but mine was the choice. Amen.